Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, about 15 months ago or so, I started a Facebook page because I decided that I wanted to really be connected with the Reiki community in a way that I hadn't before. And I have this thing that I wanted to check out, which was that we could be connected without knowing each other and through the internet. So my experiment has been successful, though I'm still a very new novice at Facebook, and I don't know how to do a lot of stuff on Facebook. I have found that the people that I'm connected with on Facebook, I really feel connected with, and it's not the same as in person. But it does bring me some feeling of really belonging to an international community with many, many different languages and many different thoughts of Reiki. And it's very exciting. And one of the people that I've met, in quotation marks, over Facebook was Audrey Devadasi Pearson. And she's also, again, from Massachusetts. So there must be something drawing me to Massachusetts, since about 2 years ago when I first met Kelly and Anne from Boston, and they were going to create an event in Boston, and it ended up to be something else. But I did go to Boston in December, and since then, we've had a lot of people from the Massachusetts area on the show, and Audrey Devadasi is another person from this community. It's very exciting, Audrey, to have you here and to explore your practice of Reiki and also, obviously, how you came to Reiki. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here. It's a lovely opportunity.
Great. So as usual, I would love to hear your Reiki story, and I always find these so fascinating. So, tell us a story.
Well, it was probably in the mid-80s. I was living in Manhattan in New York City, and at the time I actually was a fashion designer, quite image conscious, I should say, to the degree that I had had some cosmetic surgery on my eyes and had a horrible, healing after the surgery. So by chance, I met these two people who said to me, oh, come, we can give you Reiki and we can help, you know, heal your process of healing quicken. So you know, I was at the time a yoga student and very much a believer in the metaphysics. So I did go to this session with these two wonderful people. They did the hands-on and I didn't really feel anything particularly except that they were lovely people and it was a lovely time to be together. But then I went up to my weekend house in Connecticut and my eyes were, oh my gosh, a mess. And I remember focusing in on the session that I'd had. And this sounds bizarre, but this is the truth. I saw, you know, that's quotation marks also, that's who knows. But anyway, I saw this light come from my heart, like a, it was like a waterfall, really, of light lifting upwards into my eyes.
Wow.
And that was pretty astonishing. And I gave that credit to Reiki because that was the connection that I was making in my mind. So then I'd moved to Massachusetts. My husband and I had adopted a young boy, 7 years old, and we wanted him to have a different experience of education than we had. So there's a school up here called Sudbury Valley School. So we enrolled our son in Sudbury Valley School. We moved up here, and I found this lovely metaphysical bookshop, which I frequented, and I was still very much a yogi. And I overheard a conversation. People were talking about Reiki, and what really grabbed me was that they said the word symbols.
Oh.
And I thought, symbols? And so anyway, I did seek out my very first Reiki training, which was a non-traditional training. And I had a remarkable experience. The thing about it was that I was, because of my yoga lineage, I was quite bent on lineage. So I had a little bit of mistrust, I guess, with myself at the time, not being connected to a source that took me, you know, really directly to a Sui Sensei. So I kept looking, you know, and I kept thinking, oh, there's another direction for me. So three Usui Reiki masters later, I met up with my yoga institute, which was Kripalu Center, where Libby Barnett was teaching, and she had a beautiful lineage. And so I studied with her and had a wonderful, again, experience. I had wonderful experiences with everybody, but this one satisfied my need, I guess, for lineage. And I suppose it's somewhere in my background, my need for family, something like that. Yeah. So about 2 years in, I was at my yoga institute with my teacher, who is Yogi Amrit Desai. And suddenly, and I was doing a small training there for his close disciples. I was doing a Reiki 1. And as I was attuning his disciples, I suddenly got that all the years I've been studying yoga, which I perceived to be prana awakening, that's the life force energy.
Right.
I recognized Reiki was exactly the same, just a different doorway in, I guess, or a different cultural way in, because it too was awakening Reiki, the life force. And I saw that for me was the merging of all the work that I had done and the recognition of Reiki awakening. I don't think I would have gotten without the prana awakening, and vice versa. I feel like the prana awakening had me recognize the Reiki awakening. So I did feel like I was now embodying Reiki and used it greatly for my own healing. So all was well, and I was teaching at the Yoga Institute, and I was also teaching in my own little center. A lot of Reiki. I taught a lot of people came to me. It was interesting. Until at some point, my husband and I decided we wanted to go to Japan to, because he by now was a Reiki master too. Uh-huh. And we wanted to find the root, you know, the root of the Usui, I guess, path.
Uh-huh.
So while we were there, we discovered something called the Gakkai, which I didn't know about. But again, it was almost like that discovery of the symbols. It was mystical and it was magical and it was secret, kind of. Yes. So I was like drawn in again. And but of course, we found out very quickly that we would not be invited in. So I thought, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, we went to the memorial, we went to Kuramiyama, and I felt deeply connected to Sui Sensei. So came back to America and had this, I guess, draw to study. If I couldn't get into the Gakkai, I aim high. If I couldn't get into the Gakkai, I at least wanted to study with a Japanese master. And along the way, Phyllis, I had tried to become a member of the Yoga Alliance and was not able to because there was discrepancy in the history. So I couldn't, in my good faith, share the history as I was being asked to share it. So I couldn't, it wasn't a fit then, back then. That was like 10, 15 years ago. So anyway, I searched the internet and find, this is going to sound bizarre, but I found don't even print this part. I found a guy called Rick Rivard up in Canada, and he talked me, well, I won't say that. I allowed myself to be talked into receiving what he was calling Gende Reiki via his energy body, and I would be receptive in, you know, America, and he's in Canada. So anyway, I did abide by that, and I studied hard with him. I mean, I studied, it was hard, and that wasn't the way I felt Reiki is to be studied, but it was, he was kind of a hard taskmaster. So anyway, long story short, again, it doesn't satisfy my knowing, let's say, that there's something else for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I researched further and found Doi Sensei. So this felt right, but then it had felt right so many times before. But it felt right in that he was in Japan, and I didn't know at the time that he was a member of the Gekkai. I just knew that he was going to be probably the closest that I was going to be able to get to, and I wanted to be as close as I could get.
Right.
So my husband and I both went back to Japan, and we had the opportunity to study with Doi Sensei, and we stayed with him for about 2 weeks. And I changed energetically. I came back to America. This was like only about 2 years ago. I was on course. I know you know what I mean. I had no doubt. I had no yearning. I had no ambition. I had no dissatisfaction. I had entered a place of satisfaction with my life as it is and myself as I am,
uh-huh.
which made me a much better teacher, naturally. And I began to get booked by Kripalu Center in Massachusetts, which allowed me to, I guess, facilitate the awakening for a lot of people that go there. I mean, sometimes I would have like 20 people in a class, which was a lot to manage. So my husband would support me, and he also had been initiated by Doi Sensei. So the pair of us are actually the teachers of what we call Gende Reiki America.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So as I get older and more and less, I would say, ambitious, I'm kind of drawing my energy back from traveling out there, and I'm quite preferring more one-on-one opportunities with people. So that's kind of very, very new with me. And probably this year will be the first time I've been interested in working with people on a one-on-one basis. I just feel that might be the calling that's right for me. So that's kind of my Reiki story. It's interesting that you contacted me. I've had such great respect for your grandmother. I don't really know so much about the Alliance. Are you still part of the Reiki Alliance?
No, I'm not. I'm associated with it, but I'm not a member anymore.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that may be why you're open to meeting others of us then, because I felt like I wasn't a member of the club, and so I sort of dropped knowing about it because it didn't feel like I was a fit or it was a fit.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you have reached out, and I'm very thrilled. And what I'd like to be a part of, if it's possible, is a universal Reiki community rather than all the little sort of groups that, I don't know, it's almost like we're competing with people. It gets almost like business rather than an enlightenment path, which is what I'm about.
Right.
So, yeah. So more and more, the one-on-one suits me. It's not, it doesn't, I don't have to advertise so much and worry about being able to afford the venue. You know, I've opened up my home as a center so people can come here and I can spend the day with them. And
right.
I think that's going to be nice.
Well, it's interesting, this process. I'll be interested to track you.
Okay.
And what you're doing in the near future, because I find that as a master, you go through these cycles, and I think that we all find our teacher, you know, whoever that is, and for whatever reason, and the moving, you know, as you know, through yoga, it is the path that's really important. So I feel like all of what I've done in my path hasn't been easy, definitely, but it has been important.
Yes.
And it has added to whatever I have now. So, you know, your experience with Rick in Canada was one of the things that, you know, I feel like, well, we all go through those things, and they're a part of our path, our search for, you know, our authenticity. So,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know, that's, some people think that that's kind of sugarcoating it, but I don't.
No,
I mean, it doesn't take away the pain and the disruption. It just fits it into knowing that life is not always easy.
Life is quite a winding path.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's interesting for me because, I've been a member of the Reiki Alliance. I helped form the Reiki Alliance, because, in the early days, when my grandmother started to initiate all these different masters, there were several of us who asked her if we could meet together. And she was not really up for it. She wanted people to stay on their own and to be their own person. And I feel like I could now, not back then, but now I can really understand what she was trying to provide us with.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's what's happening to me.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe. It was a way for us to not lean on each other, but to be able to gain our own personal mastery through having to go through a path that wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. And so after her death, I asked, all the masters that were initiated by Hawaii Otakata to come to Hawaii, for a memorial service. And since we were all going to fly over there, I decided that maybe we should meet for a week, which everybody else thought was a great idea. Mm. And it was wonderful. Most of the masters that she initiated came, and then some of the masters who had already been initiated in the ensuing 2 years by other masters also attended, and some of the spouses attended. So it was a fairly big group for that era.
Yeah.
And out of that, we just enjoyed our company so much that we decided to form the Reiki Alliance. And at that time, of course, the Reiki Alliance, there wasn't another form of Reiki that we knew. We all, even though we didn't all agree on different things, we all were initiated and trained by Hawaii Otakata, and there was a kind of feeling of familiarity. Do you know what I mean? It was we were all brothers and sisters. We just, you know, got what our message of our master was a little bit, and the emphasis was a little different because we were all different people.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that was really
neat. Smart. Your grandmother was smart because she presented the Reiki to the Western people. The Christian Western people would never have bought the Japanese it was more Shinto spirituality. So she was smart to say that the stories, you know, that Usui was a Christian priest and whatever else, because that's created an opening for people to receive it.
Well, actually, I don't know. You know, like that is a interesting assumption that's been made. But, you know, my grandmother didn't teach she taught in the Japanese community in Hawaii, for many, many, many years.
Oh,
and
she did.
She didn't, and she made people who were not Japanese study Buddhism and study a kind of practice that would allow them to understand Reiki. So the assumption that she changed that piece of the story is not my experience personally. And so I know people who have done that, and I have seen, and she also did that for people who were in the 70s who were studying with her. She would say, well, you should study this book, and it would be a book on Buddhism.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful to hear. Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, this whole thing about the history is so fascinating. I juggle all these different pieces of it. And one, I'm not saying that my grandmother, couldn't have changed the emphasis of the story or couldn't have done something, different, but it wasn't out of, wanting to get people to Reiki. I mean, she was very, very clear that Reiki, the practice, was valuable and she wouldn't give it to just anybody. So if people had to work for their money, if people had to work for their time to attend a class, for her, that was important. It wasn't something that she wanted to populate the world with in some way, you know?
Yeah, well, she did.
Yeah, she did, even though. And
just for my own clarification, Phyllis, is it then likely that her, I call them devotees, disciples, let's say.
How about students? I like the word students.
Students. Okay. Her students made up a lot of the stories so that they could have more students?
No, I don't. No.
All right. Well, I got the whole thing wrong, apparently.
No, I mean, let's not go to right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Because right and wrong is like so, I mean, for me, this is part of the path.
So, gotcha.
is in some way wanting, let's see, how can I say this? This is very exciting because I like having conversations like this because I get insights too.
Sure.
So for me, part of my path with the history, for instance, is I'm not defending my grandmother, but I'm also not willing to accept assumptions about her that I know are not based on knowing her, but are based on other people's assumptions about who she was. Which
I absolutely get it. Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear that too.
Yeah,
that puts me in my better alignment.
Yeah, and the other thing about history, which is, I mean, I've had these conversations over and over with people, and I'm having a very deep conversation about history with masters I've initiated and trained. And that is that, you know, yes, there are records, and the Japanese are very good about records. And they did suffer incredible damage during the war.
Yeah.
And we don't know the actual detail of Mikao Sui's life or Shijiro Hayashi's life. We know more about Hawaii Otakata's life, but definitely even I don't know everything that went on in her head. So when I read the history, for instance, of World War II, about the, you know, some of the things that happened in World War II, if you read an American history book, it's really different than a German history book, and that's really different than a Japanese history book.
No question, yeah.
And so we have to, and then there's this other overlay, which I feel like is really interesting for me. And that is, you know, because I'm American and because, you know, when I got into Reiki, the movement in the American Indian culture was to, there were people who were reaching out to teach non-Indians the Indian way. And I don't know if you remember that, but in the 1970s and 80s, this was really big in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Native Americans were against that because they said that, you know, people who are Caucasian or other, you know, another race besides Native, didn't have the cultural background to really understand even the creation stories.
I agree.
And the creation stories, I mean, they sound like fantasy to me. They sounded like fantasy to me like 30 years ago. And now that I've been in Reiki for 30 years, I really get that those stories were based on the experience of ancient people. And that's the way that they put it together. And now that, you know, we have had the Industrial Revolution and we're not living with the land and so on and so on, it sounds like fantasy. But for them, it was really a true story based on historical facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I juggle all these different things. And I feel like as Reiki masters, there's a really beautiful path about our own story. That's why I love listening to Reiki stories, because the magic, you know, the real magic of how you connected, you know, to Reiki and how that came about and, you know, how you went from one step to another, is always magical. It's like this living magic, and we don't really recognize it, I think.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to see it.
Yeah. And I'd like to think that I'm not saying this or seeing this way just because, you know, I want to make everything smoothie. Definitely not. I mean, it still is painful for me sometimes that I didn't have the opportunity to sit down with my grandmother like in 1995 and say, okay, like what really happened here?
Yeah. Yeah.
By that time I would have been able to ask intelligent questions. You know, in 1979, I just took in whatever she was giving me. And that's the posture of a good student.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it is.
So there was this other posture that I would have liked to have, been able to experience also, but that's when, you know, her voice comes in and says, let Reiki teach you. You know, what really is Reiki, and how much are we going to let the separation of what we feel like are historical facts separate us from the actual experience of the practice, right?
Yeah, well said, absolutely. That's actually tremendously helpful for me, because
really,
well, yes, because I did get caught up in I wasn't able to reconcile with Yoga Alliance, because the history, you know, that I had to teach it a way that didn't resonate with me. So it's good to realize that it's nothing, who gives it about the history, really. We care about the life force, about the
right,
the life-giving energy that we call Reiki is all that. It's the creation, it's the creator. I'm the manifestation of it. I think you are, we all are.
Right.
So that's what's important. And like, I think we might want to call them stories rather than histories, because history makes it so definitive and doesn't really give you any place for interpretation, because it says this is the way it is and this is the way it was. And I mean, even American history is
right,
what we
exactly
were taught in schools isn't even accurate. So
no, yeah, exactly.
It's
the Indians definitely have a different idea about how the
absolutely
West was won.
Oh, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very helpful to me, because there's no need to even focus on the history, because it's nothing to do with Reiki.
Well, that's not totally true. You know, it's like we need to, I get that because of my trust in my grandmother and also the trust in the power of her teaching, which what she transmitted through that history was incredible. I mean, there was absolutely no room for doubt, and that's where I am.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I can't have an inquiring mind, right?
No.
And for me, that root of certainty allows me to carry on my practice Whereas for some people who have really had a hard time with the history, I've seen how disruptive it is. It's like not having roots.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The only difference, I guess, in the history that I was unsettled with was the whole idea that how on earth could a Japanese Buddhist lay monk be a Christian priest. So when I did go to Japan and I was informed more in alignment with my own understanding, let's say, I then felt, like you've just described, as settled and uncertain.
Right.
So again, I think it's going to be individual.
Right.
Whatever we resonate with.
Right.
Exactly. That does not block the flow of Reiki.
Right. So I just have to go back a couple of, you've mentioned the Yoga Alliance a couple of times. Do you mean the Reiki Alliance?
Oh, if I said alliance, I meant Reiki.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's really, I'd like to just clear up as a thing that, thread that's flowing through our conversation. And that is that one of the things about the Reiki Alliance is that we've, as a group, we've struggled with a lot of really interesting questions that actually we don't have enough information about. We're not mature enough in our spiritual, this is my opinion, we're not mature enough in our metaphysical and spiritual understanding to really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Reiki Alliance is dedicated, just like Gakkai is dedicated to the teachings of Mikao Usui, you know, from him personally,
yes.
Without a lineage. They formed an association. So their mission was to keep the teachings intact. And what's happened with the Reiki, with the lineage that comes down through me, is that it's from Mikao Usui and then going through these other masters and going through a space of time, and that time has influenced the practice, so that when we end up now, the Reiki Alliance is simply another organization that is maintaining a practice coming from Hawaii Otakata and myself. So if you practice this practice like Gakkai or Usui Shiki Ryoho, then you have these two organizations that are, I guess people could call them exclusive, but for me they're not. They're simply a group of masters who want to preserve a certain practice. And I feel if it's possible for us to take the next step and create a, what I would call a global, in many sense, a global group of masters and students where the practice of Reiki is our focus rather than the practice that we're practicing is the focus.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
A universal Reiki.
Right. But it doesn't make either one of them wrong. It just means for me that we've reached, we as a Reiki, global Reiki community have reached a certain maturity where we see that we have to have these groups that preserve a certain practice. And like William Rand has his organization that preserves his practice. And I'm sure that Hiroshi Doi has a group that preserves the practice that he's teaching. And so on. But then if we could do an umbrella one, that would also be really great, because I feel like we would be able to find our common ground and really put our attention to that, which I feel like is our next step.
My heart is so wide open now hearing you say that.
Yeah.
Because it would take somebody with your stature, let's say, in the community to be heard for this.
Right.
You know, I'm just a little scotchy person in this big potential, but I would be on board, absolutely, because I'm moving in that direction. And I realize it's almost like you go beyond, you go beyond tradition to Reiki.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I'd love to see that evolve.
Well, those steps are being taken, through, and I'm just in the exploration stage, but one of the things that is so vital to the manifestation of this particular step, I don't call it a dream. I think it's Reiki calling us to say, okay, now you're good at this. Now, okay, that's good. You're comfortable. Now it's time to get uncomfortable again.
Yeah.
And go the next step. So one of the things that I never thought that I would be involved with is, you know, looking at this practice of Reiki and seeing that we've reached a plateau. I feel that one of the things that has happened in the Reiki community that I'm involved with deeply, which is the Alliance community, even though I'm not a member. And actually what has happened, and I'd just like to go back again and just pick this up. I feel like for the last 10 years, it's been this incredible question of what is my place in the Alliance? And one of the things that was happening is that there were personal issues involved. Like people loved me and they wanted to be me to be a member because, you know, if I was a member, then I would come to the conferences and, you know, they would get to see me every year and so on.
But you know, were the founder. Kind of,
huh?
Weren't you the founder?
I was one of the founders.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you a member?
Well, it did. And it was kind of automatic. But then we really had to look at whether or not this was really my place. So for me personally, this is really interesting, and it's still a wonderful part of my path, is that when I first was initiated as a master, I was a Reiki master. And at that point, being a Reiki master and being a master of Usui Shiki Ryoho were both the same, if you get my drift.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at that point in our knowledge of Reiki, they were the same, right? Hawaii Okikata held the practice of Reiki, period.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, more than 30 years later, there are a myriad of practices of Reiki. Yeah. So I identify myself as a master of Usui Shiki Ryoho, honoring this lineage. And now I'm investigating what is my responsibility and my calling to be a Reiki master. That means to really own my relationship with the energy of Reiki and my relationship with all masters.
Oh, God. My heart's just bursting because you're speaking my language.
Great. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing and it's very challenging.
Yeah.
Because being a master
of your... I think Reiki will guide us.
Yeah. Well, being a master of your own practices, I mean, it's difficult, but it's fairly easy compared to the other challenges out there. And it means that we have to give up our competitiveness and our comparing things to each other and just being able to accept our practices as being worthy. And I think that this is a mindset that is really important to get ourselves out of. When I do my teaching, I talk about the relative world and the absolute. And these terms are being taken from an Aikido terminology, which is a Japanese martial art.
Yeah.
But yoga has the same thing, you know?
Yeah. It all works with the energy we call Reiki.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like the movement that's happening right now in the Reiki world and actually in the world in general is that we're being asked to let go of the relative world, this world that we're so attached to, where somebody is right or wrong, somebody's better than I am, or I'm less than them, and go to the absolute where we are just human beings, one with each other. We're all individual personalities. We have individual needs. And we have individual practices of Reiki, and that's fine.
Yeah, it's the way it is anyway.
Yeah, and you know, I tell you, that's our big struggle. So yeah. The first thing that I'm doing right now, which is really exciting, I have to say, and sometimes very confusing, mm-hmm. is I'm doing a lot of work with a friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, who has developed himself into a wonderful regenerative, what is his title? Regenerative community development consultant.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. So,
yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah? So yeah. He takes the regenerative development principles and assists people in creating communities. So this can be like he goes to the East Coast and there's this actual community in somewhere in New York who wanted to expand their community, but they wanted it to be totally based on regenerative developmental principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he went there. He is going there, you know, consistently to train the people to think in that way, but also to develop their community in that way, like from the ground up, literally.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what he's being involved in this
development. So starting from the understanding of what is Reiki and then building from there.
Yeah, but it's a really different way of thinking. So I'm very excited by this, and we're having, we're doing different events in order to introduce people to this possibility.
Great.
So, Audrey, I'm going to
you're ripping
get
me
you
right.
involved.
Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, great. But yeah. what I'm really interested in is because you're with Hiroshi Doi.
Yes.
And now, and this is this also, so what is your practice actually called? I want to get this really clear because I'm not,
my practice, do you know what my practice is called? It's called Reiki Asadhana of Love. That's my practice.
That's your practice, but what
do you... That's my practice. The tradition is that I'm a certified in is Gende Reiki Ho.
Gende Reiki Ho, okay.
Yeah, but my
That's directly out of Hiroshi Doi.
Yes, that's his but it's funny because what you're proposing is a question that I've been sharing with my husband about my own journey and how... I feel that my path is going beyond tradition.
Right.
And I say, I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I just mean I'm about Reiki, not about somebody's organization. Right. And I value every step I've taken. And I'm actually taking a group of people that I initiated as masters in Gende Reiki to Japan with me, so that they can carry on with Gende Reiki in America, and I can be true to my calling.
Uh huh. Which is actually
sadhana.
It sounds like an expression of all your years of everything.
Of everything, yeah.
Of everything.
But it's all about the energy that I call life force.
Right.
We call prana in yoga. Right. We call Reiki in Reiki. We call It's to use a yogic metaphor, it's the divine mother feminine energy that drives all of life.
Right.
So that's me. That's what I'm, that's what I resonate with and what I, like if I'm feeling sick, then my practice is to raise my inner resonance.
Uh-huh.
To unconditional love, and that's what I call Reiki.
Okay.
There's going to be different languages within this.
Yeah, but I really get what you're saying, and you know, it's interesting for me because some masters who are initiated, it doesn't in my view of Reiki masterdom.
Yeah.
There are some that are called, like you, to create their own practice. And there are others who are called to uphold the tradition from which they came. And it's very interesting because I feel like we need both.
Well, I'm not the one to uphold a tradition. Right. I mean, I don't even uphold my yoga tradition anymore because I, as a student, I was searching or dedicated to prana awakening. And once prana awoke in me, that's the, what I call the Holy Spirit, I now am doing the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it's also called Reiki. So I'm doing the work of Reiki, not of any tradition. But I'm bringing my people that I initiate to the source, which is the energy, through the tradition, to the tradition, so that they can learn from it like I did.
Right. And I believe that some of those people will connect to Hiroshi Doi and remain students of his in that sense.
Most will, probably.
And then there will be others that may, like you, create something new. And one of the things that is so vital in this particular piece is that you have already created your own identifier, right?
Which is Reiki as a sadhana of love?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is really important because it honors your teacher. Do you know what I'm saying? It honors your master and the tradition from which you come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be here without all of my teachers, you know.
Right, exactly.
And especially your grandmother.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She brought it over. I mean, who knows if we would ever have learned of this crazy Japanese thing.
Right, exactly. But it was a calling from her. I mean, she was touched by Reiki, and that was it. And, you know, her teacher had no, on some level, it's like, you know, when I talk about the history, we'll come back to the history now at the end of our time together.
Okay.
You know, for me, one of the things that's a misnomer about the history is that it's not a history of the people. It's a history of the practice.
Of the awakening, I would call that.
Well, maybe the awakening, but for me, it's a really, when I tell the history, it's a history of the practice as I pass it on to my students.
Okay.
It's not a history. Yeah. The people are like mileposts that the practice flows through, but it's not about the people.
No, it's about the energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're just creating another milepost, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really going to create it. I'm going to let Reiki, Reiki's my boss. So whatever develops, I'm just going to get out of the way.
Well, okay. So
I don't have any plans. I just have a feeling that I'm being guided, but, you know, beyond tradition.
Yeah, I get that part. And I don't know, maybe it's my psychology part of myself. When I acknowledge that getting out of the way sometimes might mean like I'm not going to let my personal attachments block this flow.
Yeah, that's what I do mean.
Yeah. And for other people, it's like, oh, I have no part in this. It's all done through Reiki, and, you know, so I would just want to clarify that terminology.
No, I have to put one step in front of the other and be the creator and the manifester and allow myself to be guided by my inner resonance with Reiki. So if it feels good and right, then that's my code.
Ooh, great. Wonderful. Well, that's a huge lesson for people and for the listeners because I feel like, you know, sometimes in our Western world, we're kind of taught to, if we let go, to let go of everything. It's like I tell my students, it's like being in a boat in a river, and you can just float along with the oars in the boat and see wherever you land. And, you know, then if
or
you
set an intention to get somewhere.
Right. Or if you put the oars in the water and actually, you know, become a participant in your own life.
Exactly.
And that's what's really important for me.
Yeah. I call that setting the intention and then letting go of attachment to, you know, how it might develop, because it might look completely different.
Right. Well, then I can't ask you what you think the future is of your next step, but
I would tell you I'm just here now.
Right, exactly, which is a great answer. So when you say that you're setting this up for yourself, does that include your husband, or is
he's a brilliant yogi of, you know, metaphysician, I should say, but he's not active like me. So he jumps in to help me, because I can't do everything by myself. Like I do all the planning, all the plotting, all the printing. I'm a one man show. And so he will edit for me, or, you know, I did a book called I Am Reiki. And so he would come through and edit it and just make sure it's, you know, decent. And he also helps me with attunements, because he's got an amazing ability to merge with the energy and 100% trust it and just be it. So I actually really like it when he attunes the students, because I can just see that he disappears and he becomes Reiki. But he's usually in agreement with where I go. His path has been one that I've guided, I've led, and he's come because he's seen something wonderful happening.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. And what a wonderful man to be able to do that. I mean, that's very unusual.
I know, totally. And I met him at the ashram. He was a student.
Yeah, well, kudos.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, this is, I think, going to be our last bit of conversation, our last question. Okay. So amazing, huh?
I'm so thrilled that you, I don't know how you found me, but you said in the beginning it was Facebook. So kudos to Facebook.
Right. I mean, you know, I've actually met over the last year amazing people on Facebook, a lot of, some of whom I've interviewed, and all the interviews have been fabulous. And it just goes to show for me this deep connection that we all have, that Reiki somehow highlights and brings out in us.
Bringing us together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll watch and see and participate, like you said, and see what develops.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, let's see, you're still in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm just, you know, the only reason I'm in Massachusetts, honestly, is because my husband's in the IT business, and his job market is here, and, you know, he's solid in his job, and that means a lot today. Otherwise, I'd probably be in a warm climate somewhere.
I see.
Yeah.
So
I'm here sort of supporting the family while he works and brings in the money.
Right. Right. Well,
do my thing.
Well, Massachusetts has its share of cold, stormy weather this year.
Yeah. Yeah. We're under snow. It's very pretty, but it's bitter cold.
Right. So do you have a lot of connection with the Massachusetts Reiki community?
A lot of connection. No, I haven't been a very out there kind of person. I noticed that I'm more well known than I realized, however. I think again because of Facebook. I guess I have a lot of Facebook friends, and I've got about 100 people that have come through and been initiated, you know, through the various stages of my work with Reiki.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I mean, if you have something to present, I can definitely put it out there, you know, why not?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. The Kripalu Center of Yoga was part of my Reiki journey in the 1980s.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. A woman by the name of Linda Kaiser Martis, who was from Washington, D.C. area, went to Holyoke, and she had a lot of friends in the Berkshires. And I went to Kripalu many, many years ago, you know, in the 1980s with Linda. Yeah. It was a wonderful place, and it's great that you have connection there. Pardon?
We should get you to come there.
Ah, uh-huh. Well, that's
there's a bunch of people
idea.
There. Like yeah. sometimes when I'm teaching there in uh-huh. the dining room, there'll be 3,000 people at lunch.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, I just didn't even think of that community, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah, amazing.
And then Omega too. I haven't been able to open the door for myself at Omega, but that's another big community that's uh-huh. very much interested in Reiki.
Oh,
yeah, Reiki's, in the last 10 years, I think Reiki has kicked up, you know, a lot of interest, and it seems to be the current paradigm for enlightenment and healing.
Huh.
So I'm all about it.
Well, that's great, because people have been worried about the, quote, reputation of Reiki, but I feel, I don't know if you feel this, but I feel that the last 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, there's been a very steady kind of foundation that's building of credibility with Reiki.
Absolutely. You know, I have a page, I don't know if you know this, but I have a page on Facebook called, it's called Gende Reiki, A Spiritual Path. I have over 10,000 fans.
Wow.
Right? It's just, you know, just because I post what I know, you know, what I believe, rather, let's say, what I feel, and people respond to it, and I do it in a real colorful way, and catchphrase.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's like a pictorial magazine for the spiritual dimension of Reiki. I'm much more about the spiritual end of it, because I feel like healing is an automatic when once you're aligned, you know, energetically. So I think healing happens, but yeah. So I kind of appeal to everybody. I wanted to try and change the name to Reiki, A Spiritual Path, but they won't let me.
No, I think your name is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll invite you to join.
Okay. It sounds
and then
like a good
post
idea.
All this new stuff on there too.
Great.
Right?
Great.
Yeah, 10,000 people.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's a good start.
That's a very good start. Well, Audrey, it's been wonderful to talk with you, wonderful to explore all these different facets, and wonderful to meet another person on the path.
Another metaphysician.
Huh? Yeah.
I call myself a metaphysician.
Oh, good. A metaphysician. Great.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you for, you know, calling and connecting.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my
rich
pleasure.
To me. Yeah. I appreciate it. So be well.
Okay, I will.
So I just turn off on video now?
No, I'm going to now do the closing.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
Well, for you listeners, I think that Audrey pointed out something very beautiful at the very end when she said that when you go to the energetic level, healing just happens. And I feel that also. It's what Reiki has taught me and obviously many other people. So take care, pay attention to your energetics, and we'll see you next week. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.